Community Matters. Solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Good morning. It's Megan from The Morning Show on Your Encouraging WPER. Welcome to another edition of Community Matters. As we are nearing the end of National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week, we thought we would take a moment just to highlight a ministry within the Fredericksburg community that is actually serving those who are on the path to recovery. So today we're going to be talking with Steve Weber of Crossroads Transition Home, which is a ministry based in Fredericksburg that helps to transition men from a life of addiction to a life of freedom and helping to foster relationships that help them through that process of breaking the addiction. So Steve, we're just going to get started. Welcome to the show and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, good morning, everybody. First of all, I really appreciate the family here at WPER for allowing us to come in and share a little bit about the ministry. Crossroads Transition Home is a one-year men's residential discipleship program for guys dealing with drug addiction. We really get guys from all over the place. So we sometimes people hear about us through other family members. We have connections with a lot of the jails in the community and as well. We try to reach every guy that we can that is hungry for change.
How did Crossroads Transition Home get started?
Our director, his name is Kerry Honey, and Kerry got saved through a program similar to this. So he grew up in Baton Rouge, got in a bunch of trouble, and moved to Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, where over the course of many years of addiction and gambling problems and other things that he dealt with there, even as a successful businessman running his own home remodeling and building company, found himself in a program like this where God just began to speak to him. And as he was growing in his relationship with the Lord, he began to feel the call of God to start something like that as well. So he moved to the Fredericksburg area in 2013, and over the course of a couple of years began sharing his vision and his dreams, and other friends were coming alongside him. So in 2017, Crossroads Transition Home was birthed.
I would think that if you're not a family who has experienced any sort of issues with drug or alcohol abuse or anyone who's attempting to recover from that, then you may not understand the exact impact that transition homes can have on somebody who is on their way to recovery. So what would you say that the community impact is for those maybe who don't really understand?
One of the things that I think a lot of times people don't understand is that addiction can hit any household. If we're not a part of that environment, if we're not touched directly by addiction in our own families, sometimes we can miss out on the reality of just how prevalent it is right here in the Fredericksburg community. And, you know, in 2017 in Spotsylvania, we had 20 deaths due to overdose. In 2018, we had 32 deaths to overdose just in Spotsylvania County. But in this region as a whole in 2018, we lost hundreds of people to overdoses. And so it's this is a disease that it doesn't just hit one socioeconomic class of people. You know, it can be in any of our communities. It can be any of our homes. And there are three of us who are co-directors working together. Of course, I've already mentioned Kerry. And then one of our other guys is Doug McVicker. Doug, again, is another guy who went through his battles with addiction and problems throughout his younger years. And when the Lord really called him back into a full relationship with him, he had met Kerry through their church and just knew that this was a partnership that he wanted to be a part of as well. And so after it got birthed, Teresa here at the radio station introduced me to Kerry, and I fell in love with the ministry too because of my background is in addiction and stuff too as a young man. So we are just passionate. We, you know, we love addicts, and you know, oftentimes the world will look at somebody that's in jail, and it's so easy for us to misunderstand all the events that got somebody into a dark place to reach their bottom. Our slogan is "Where Grace Conquers Hopelessness." I mean, that's what Crossroads Transition Home is all about. We use the love of God and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to help us to really bring guys into relationship with the Lord, because we believe that's the only place that addiction can be broken. Romans 12:2, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's what why we care so much about this ministry right here in the Fredericksburg area as well.
It is key when you think about the recovery process and how some people may not even fully understand. If you're not exposed to it, you don't understand what it's like to be on that side of things. And it truly is a disease, and having that stigma removed from addiction and treating it as if it is a disease as opposed to a weakness. I think that does make a big difference.
Most of the programs we have here in the States, if it's a secular program, it might be like a 30-day recovery process. And even then, oftentimes it's treated with psychology and medicine to counteract the addiction and try to get that changed. But people don't become addicts overnight. Addiction is one of those things that happens over the course of a period of time. In this day, in our culture of our day, the drugs that are being taken are concoctions of many different things. And once a person has started stepping over the line from alcohol to marijuana and then into some of these other things, oftentimes they don't even know what they're getting into until they've taken that first, you know, the first hit or the first shot of something or whatever that might look like for them. Those drugs become snares because the body begins to crave them even more. And so once you've hit that plateau of your life, it's hard to really go back. And so Christ-centered addiction recovery, for us anyway, is the answer, you know, because we understand that a guy doesn't become an addict overnight. We also realize that recovery doesn't happen in a month-long program. It takes time. And so that's why we also have it's a one-year residential program, you know, which it sounds like maybe you're the ministry in Louisa, and I know there's several others here locally that really believe in that kind of scenario, that it takes time to heal the addict's mind, to heal that disease and to help somebody to work through where their mind has been at for all that time. And of course, as Christians, we all know that it begins by the change of the heart. You know, you have to start thinking about yourself differently and who you are and how God designed you and what his purpose is for you. So that's why we work so hard to really help guys who really hit their bottom, you know, and even oftentimes their family won't take them back in. Everybody's bottom is a little bit different, but when we can grab that one guy that says, "I'm ready for change," it is an incredible miracle to watch that transformation taking place.
And having a safe space for them to go to while they're in that process of recovery, that's got to make a big difference, knowing that they're in a welcoming environment, that they're with people who accept them, and that they're actually with people who are going through the same thing as them.
Absolutely. That's a comfortable place for them. And of course, we, you know, in the beginning, they want to share their entire story. But what we help them to understand is that is just a small piece of the bigger picture of what God is wanting to do in their lives. And so, like many of the other transitional programs and ministries that are out there, we've actually set ours up into two phases. The key word, I guess there's two keywords here, right? There's crossroads, which we all kind of have an understanding. It's the intersections where decisions are made. And then the transitional part is we really want to get guys from that place of brokenness to a place of being just a really healthy guy who loves the Lord and who's successful in business and in life and restored if they have families, to be restored back into their families and things like that. So we have our program is a two-step program, and they're in for the first phase of the program is a 4 months long, and we just really pour into them God's love. We extend to them an understanding of who we are, where we came from. We do lots of Bible studies, and now we're working on a ministry that is probably familiar to some of your listeners called Living Free. Once they complete that first phase of the ministry, then we promote them into the second phase. And then during the second phase is that transitional kind of time for them. That's where we're sort of evaluating where they are, what their needs are, where they see themselves when they leave the ministry, you know, kind of some of their dreams. And we have them write all that stuff down so that those last 8 months, we can really help get that guy to a place that when he leaves the program, that he's capable of either having a good, healthy relationship with his family back, or potentially having his own place, or maybe getting a car. You know, just the things that seem normal to most of us. But many of these guys have lost along the way. Some of them, and I guess that's the other part of this. You know, sometimes we think about the addict as somebody who's just been a mess their whole life, but the reality is a lot of addicts used to have six-digit figures, and things happen in life. You know, they were white-collar workers as well, and so it's not just relegated. The problem's not just relegated to guys who grew up in a dysfunctional home. There's all kinds of circumstances leads guys to addiction. And so really our whole purpose and plan is to, first of all, bring them into relationship with the Lord. But then secondly, restore them back. You know, that's that transitional part. And in this kind of a ministry, it's tough. You know, there's guys that are playing the system, and then there's guys who come into our program and just really eat up what God is doing in their life and the transformation that's taking place. And even now, we have a guy that came to us from Wilmington, Delaware, and you know, his story is one of those stories where if you were to watch it on 2020 or 60 Minutes, you'd be like, oh man, how did this guy get to this place in his life? And but God is moving mightily in his heart. And we already are seeing the potential for him to really do well in life and to be restored back to his family completely. They do everything the way they're supposed to. And so that's a good thing, you know.
And what about those who struggle with the transition back portion, especially if their families have kind of thrown their hands up and said, nope, we don't want any more to do with this? How do you encourage them to move on and to stay on the path of recovery?
That is a great question, because it's so hard, you know. Especially as Christians, we are called to compassion, right? And it's who we are. When we understand the love of Christ and what he's done on the inside of us, it's our natural inclination to just want to love people to him as well. But there's such a fine line between helping and enabling. And I think for every family, it's probably a little bit different where that line is. So certainly, anytime I think about this kind of a subject, I always think about the prodigal son. Here is a guy who in the parable, takes off. He's taken everything that his dad, belonged to his dad, that was a part of his inheritance. And we know that story. And I just love how, when he gets to his bottom, you know, he comes back and the father just right away comes and greets him. You know, he doesn't have to go to the father comes to him. And I think when we're dealing with family members that are in addiction, while we may not understand why they chose that path, being able to still express love and care without enabling them to continue to live in that lifestyle is really kind of a hard line. But I would say don't give up. Don't give up on them. When they're reaching out, it's, we don't have to give them what they need or what they're asking for, but we can certainly love them. And that's where grace conquers hopelessness in any situation, right? It's to love people where they are. That's the Jesus model. He always loved people where they were, whether it was a tax collector, whatever that looked like. His ministry style was to love people where they were. Yeah, and he didn't enable them either. He didn't give them a way out. He didn't give them excuses. You know, he didn't pay their way out of stuff. You know, he just said, you know, follow me, and I will do the work in you. I've obviously, we've had so many guys that have come through our program as well, through the ministry, who have left. And it's hard, you know, because you want to fix them for themselves, but they've got to want it as well. So what we have found is we just try to stay in contact, as you know, and say, hey, man, we still love you. You know, we're praying for you. It is a matter of just loving them, even in the middle of where they're at, and trying to figure out, how do I do that without making it look like I'm giving them permission to stay there. I know even in my own life, I grew up in a really good home. My parents were solid people and good parents, and we went to church all the way through. And I'll never forget the hard lessons I had to learn when I made the decisions to kind of run away from whatever it was I was running from and into addiction, and my parents having to make some of those tough love decisions. And, you know, at the time, I hated them for it, you know. I couldn't believe that they were my parents and they weren't going to bail me out of jail, or they weren't going to, you know, pay for the best lawyer to get me out of trouble. And yeah, they were showing me what I needed, which was hard for them. You know, I know they probably had many sleepless nights wondering where I was at and stuff like that. But once I came to my senses, again, going back to the prodigal son, once that person, that family member comes back to their senses, I think they eventually realize there's an appreciation for how tough love worked in their life as well. So everybody wants boundaries, right? I mean, that's the studies show that kids need boundaries, but we all live in boundaries. And so if you've got somebody, man, obviously you know as well as I do, and your listening audience, that we have to fast sometimes and pray and be diligent to love them where they're at and not give up. And of course, once you find out about about ministries like ours, or the one in Louisa, or I know there's Zoe Freedom Center here. I'm friends with the couple that are birthing that ministry, and others is connect, make the connections, you know. Don't let people just continue to be in that place without at least trying to help them find a place of restoration.
So for those who are tuning in today, if they're interested in helping Crossroads Transition Home in any way, what are some ways that they can get involved?
Obviously, we would love to see folks partner with us. And the most important partnership that anybody can provide would be in prayer. I mean, we are working towards trying to restore guys that have really hit a bottom. And it's a tough ministry. So please keep us in your prayers. Secondly, we are looking for ministry partners in so many different ways. So, you know, if somebody's available during the day to help out with driving guys to doctor's appointments or probation visits or whatever those things might look like, we can use drivers. We're always looking for people who are willing to make a meal for the guys, maybe once a week or once a month. We also potentially are looking for educators, Bible teachers, things of that nature. In some cases, it's substitutes. And there's a wide variety, really, of needs. The other thing that that I would say is we're also looking for opportunities to share about the ministry in churches. So if there's a pastor that's listening this morning that's interested in hearing more about us, or somebody that maybe you think your pastor might be interested, we would really love for you to call us and let us know that you're interested, and that way we can maybe come and set up an appointment to meet with the pastor and potentially just raise awareness in the local churches as well. So for more information, you can call the director's phone number is 732-407-5765, or you can go to crossroadstransitionhomeva.org and learn more about us there as well.
And just from your personal perspective then, with all the time that you've given to Crossroads Transition Home, what does the ministry mean to you personally?
Oh, man. In 1983, I should have died from a drug overdose. And while it may seem harsh to some of our listeners, the reality is I would have been separated from Jesus forever if I had died in my overdose. And when God rescued me in 1992, I knew that I would spend the rest of my life trying to make a difference with men, women, and children who are bound in that environment, because I've seen what God has taken me from and allowed to take place in my own life. And so I am so passionate about this ministry, and I tell you, to find partners that would be willing to come alongside us in a variety of ways. You know, there are times where we don't really know the impact of our influence, right? And I think sometimes God even sets it up that way so that we don't get boastful or prideful about ourselves. But, you know, when we find partners that have the same kind of passion and same kind of concern as maybe what I have or Carrie or Doug for this ministry and for these guys, you know, there's going to be people in heaven that I think will be there because of our obedience and our willingness to overlook the addiction and look at the heart of the person that God is trying to restore. Because that's where those partnerships come into play, right? I mean, it's when we see the potential for somebody to really change. I guess the part two, and this is, you know, I'll kind of leave it here. The part two of that is the generations that follow, you know. So for every guy that we rescue, every guy, not that we rescue, that the Lord rescues through us, the impact on their not only their kids, but potentially even their grandkids and following is tremendous. And so every life matters to us.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Steve, for your time today, for sharing about Crossroads Transition Home and the work that you're doing in the community. And thank you again to our audience for joining us on Community Matters, where we highlight the issues that are important to each and every one of us within our community. Have a great day.